Welcome to our worship service for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. We begin the service with the singing of our opening hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, February 9th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Ken Richard. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman, and our opening hymn is number 398, Hail to the Lord's Anointed, hymn number 398 found in the Lutheran service book. The Lyndon Dittus family is sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in honor of Shirley Dittus' 93rd birthday on February 12th.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the sixth chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A catechetical review. In regards to confession, what sins should we confess?
Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts.
Which are these?
Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm?
The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternity.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little farther from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to Christ.
Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. This time, if there's any children who'd like to come forward for a children's message, they're invited to do so. Good morning, Caleb. Can you stand up for me? Are you about as tall as I am? Oh, you're three tall. Ah, yes. Yes. If you stood all the way up, could you see in my eyes? Yeah. But what if I did this? No? No. Well, we can both sit down, okay? You see, in our Bible reading for today, we had some men who, well, they thought everything looked fine. Isaiah and Peter, they thought everything looked fine, and they were doing pretty good. And then they met the Lord, and they realized, oh, no, my goodness, I'm not doing so good at all. And they both got down on their knees. They fell down in front of the Lord and said, "Oh, I'm in trouble now because I'm in front of the Lord, and he's so much more perfect and holy than I am." And Isaiah said, "I'm in trouble." And Peter said, "Go away from me." And in both cases, do you know what the Lord? The Lord said, "It's okay. I'm here now." And one, a seraphim, a mighty angel, came and touched Isaiah on the lips with a burning coal. Psh. And when he did that, he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your sin is taken away." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Get up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." So when we're in God's presence, we don't have to be afraid of him, because he's the one who washes us. He is the one who cleans us. He is the one who makes us perfect in his sight. It's his work. It's his job. It's what he does. Yeah. That is so fantastic. It's like when you were baptized. And I remember that. When you were baptized, you were washed clean by God, made precious in his sight and his very own child. So, always remember, Caleb, that you are loved by God, and he washes you, and he keeps you clean from all sin. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for keeping us clean. Thank you for washing us. Thank you for doing all work on our behalf so that we might have eternal life, that we may not live in fear of you, but live in love towards you. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Okay, Gail, thanks for coming down. We'll see you later. Okay. And we continue with the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 729, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, hymn number 729, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning, both from Isaiah and Luke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And from the Gospel of Luke, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our readings today, we have two men who realize that they are in the presence of the Lord Almighty. And these men have similar reactions. First, we have Isaiah, who saw the throne room of God. He saw the Lord seated on a throne, and Isaiah beheld the train of the Lord's robe, and the train of the Lord's robe filled the entire temple, and the glory and the majesty of God are overwhelming to him. He sees the seraphim, and that word seraphim, it means burning ones, so fiery angels. The psalmist says you make your angels ministers of fire, flames of fire. But anyway, seraphim are a class of created heavenly beings. mentions there that they have wings, six wings. With two wings, they cover their feet. With two, they cover their faces. And with two, they fly, and they're in the temple of the Lord. And what do? These great heavenly creatures stand in the presence of God and sing back and forth the thrice holy hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God is holy. Heaven and earth is full of thy glory. And this is a song that they sing back and forth in the temple. And as we've said, with two wings, they cover their face, because the angels worship God with such reverence that they don't even look at God. And they cover their feet, for they don't want to boast of their own holiness of life or the holiness of their existence before God. And they serve God not with their own deeds, but they serve God with the confession of God's holiness. And when they sang back and forth, the foundations of the threshold, the door, you know, the foundations of the threshold shook, and the entire temple was filled with smoke. And when that happened, there was no pretense in Isaiah. He cries out that he is undone, for he is a man of unclean lips, and he lives in amongst a people of unclean lips. And being confronted with the holiness of God, he's well aware of the fact that he is a sinful man, as he knows very well. A sinful man cannot see God and live. As we sing in one of our hymns, though the eyes of sinful man thy glory may not see. We also have Simon Peter today too, coming to the realization of who Jesus is. He doesn't fully grasp this realization yet. That won't happen until after the ascension. But he understands Jesus is holy, and he calls Jesus Lord. And what is that situation? It's enough to put true fear into Simon. Jesus is teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. And sure enough, we can find out a whole bunch about the church here. And you can see all these picture languages going on back and forth. And then he uses this action of catching fish to show Simon Peter what he's going to do. You know, let down your nets. Okay, the sea is the world. The nets are the word of God. The boats are the church. Peter is going to be a fisher of men, and so are the other disciples of Jesus Christ, will be ultimately given that commission to be fishers of men. But, I don't want to focus in on that today. I want to zero in on Peter's reaction when at the word of Jesus, after having fished all night with not a single fish to show for it, he obeys Jesus' command, and he lets down the net into the water, and he comes up with this miraculous catch of fish. And they wave over to their buddies, their co-workers, you know, come on over. And they are hauling these nets in, and it's so many fish they can't fill two boats with it. And as they fill two boats with the fish, the boat's starting to sink, and there's Jesus apparently still seated in the boat as this whole thing was going on. And Peter comes up to Jesus and falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now that word Lord is a very important word. It's a very important word. This is the recognition that Jesus is much more than a mere mortal man, that he is the Lord himself. Peter calls Jesus Lord. So both these men, and Isaiah and Peter, come to understand that they're in the presence of the Lord, God himself. It's an overwhelming presence which causes them to acknowledge their sinfulness. Now, you might have met somebody in the course of the walk of your life who said, "When I get to heaven, I got a few things I'm going to say to God. I got a few questions I want to ask him." And, you know, they may say that matter-of-factly. They may say that combatively. They may say it boastfully. You know, "When I meet God, I got a few things." Well, no, you won't. No. That will not be your reaction when you meet God. When you are in the presence of God, you will be fully aware of your own sinfulness. And when faced with the holiness of God, we come to recognize and realize just how broken we are. Now, most of the time we just don't get it. Most of the time we can't see it. Because each of us are afflicted with the belief that we're pretty good folks. We're pretty good people. We're all right. I mean, it's part of our fallen, sinful nature. This is how we understand ourselves. And why? Because for the most part, the vast majority of our sins are hidden. They're hidden from us. You know, they're not hanging out there for the whole entire world to see. And we have this wonderful ability to, deny them and explain them away, do all kinds of things like that. And our natural knowledge of ourselves that God lets us have is that, well, we're pretty decent folks. We're pretty good people. But you see that the wretchedness of our sin is, it's hidden inside of us. It's hidden within us. And we are so profoundly broken that we don't realize that we're broken. I was listening to an interview with a pastor a while ago. It was a pastor, Brian Wolfmuller. And he had this story he was telling about how people are broken and sinful and they don't realize it. And he said he was in somewhere and they heard a loud screech and a crash. And they ran out the door to see what was going on, and there had been a motorcycle wreck. And a gentleman, a kid, a guy who didn't know how to ride a motorcycle got on his buddy's motorcycle and tried to ride it, and he wrecked it. And Brian, Pastor Wolfmuller, said, and this was before he was a pastor, but he said, I ran up to the guy and asked him if he was all right. And the man said, I don't know. I can't feel my legs. He had broken his back, and he couldn't feel. So he didn't know how bad a shape he was in. So with sin, we are bent. We are broken also. And we don't realize just how broken we are. We don't realize just how sinful we are, and we don't understand the depths of our sin. And this is smack dab what Isaiah and Peter run right up against. In Isaiah's vision of heaven and Peter's encounter in Jesus, in these events, both these men see the depths of their own brokenness. And they compare that with the majesty of God. It was kind of like Caleb and I. If he stood up next to me while I was sitting down, and well, he looked to be about the same height as I was. But then I stand up and realize, oh, the adult is way taller than I am. So when we are in the presence of God, we will come to the realization of just how sinful we truly are. And that, what they are seeing, is what our reality is in worship. So what is going on here in worship? Now, what can't we see? What is the world that we can't see? We have asked God to be here. We have called his name in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have invoked his presence. Here with us are angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. The veil between heaven and earth is parted just a little bit. This is what's going on. Now we can't see it, but it's really happening. Peter and Isaiah run up smack dab into the fact that they can see what we is normally hidden from us. They can see what we normally can't see. We are in the presence of God. And frankly, not a single one of us captures the magnitude of exactly what it is we are doing when we're here in the worship service. For if we did, we would react just like Isaiah and just like Peter. We would be utterly terrified when we come to the conclusion and the understanding, the full of understanding, that we are in the presence of God. We would fear the great fear. We would understand the magnitude of our sinfulness. Now, look, this is that point in the sermon, right, where I'm supposed to launch into what that sinfulness is and then start ticking off these lists of all the sins that we commit and how we should. We don't need to do that this morning. You know you have your own personal sins. You know you have the things that you struggle with. You know the things that you wrestle and you battle. You can examine yourself, and you know what the world out there is like, and where you have caved into the world, and where the world has won a little piece of you. You are fully capable of examining yourself, and so we don't have to go, we don't even have to go past our family relationships to realize just how sinful each and every one of us is. So, you know, use this time as you're sitting there thinking and pondering your own sinfulness in the sight of God. And when Peter and Isaiah do this, and they're right smack dab in front of God doing this, they understand what happens. Well, they humble themselves before God. they cast themselves down before God, God in the flesh, God in the throne room. Peter or Isaiah crying out, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. And Peter throwing himself, flinging himself down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You know, but what is going on here in these, both of these scenarios, both of these accounts? God is the actor. God is the one who's doing the doing. It's God. And God chooses not to depart from them, not to abandon them, not to leave them, but he chooses to cleanse them, to make them worthy to be in his presence. And what does God choose for you? God chooses you, and for you, he chooses to cleanse you of your sins, to absolve you of your sins. He chooses to cleanse you in the waters of holy baptism. He chooses to absolve you in the words of the absolution each Sunday morning spoken through your pastor. He chooses to touch your lips with his very body and his very blood, assuring you of the forgiveness of your sins, just as Jesus himself says, this is my body, this is my blood, for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And so when you take the sacrament of the altar, you know that you are being touched by the very God who has created you and who has given you life and who is cleaning you and washing you and making you clean to stand in his presence. We have the absolution right before us. And both of these men experienced the absolution. In Isaiah's case, one of the seraphim fly to the altar. With tongs, they take a hot coal from the altar and bring the hot coal over to him. And with that coal, the seraph touches his lips. No, Isaiah, you are not undone. You are holy in God's sight. See, this has touched you. This has touched your lips. You are made clean. And Peter, when conscious of his own sinfulness and realizing he is in the presence of the divine, confesses Jesus to be the Lord and implores Jesus to depart from him. Peter wants Jesus to leave because Peter is now aware of his own sinfulness and he judges himself unworthy to be in Jesus' presence. Well, yes, that is what happens when one faces the divine, but what is Jesus' reaction? Jesus' reaction is the absolution. Do not be afraid, he tells Peter. It's a word of the Lord spoken over Peter by Jesus, releasing him from his fear and from the consciousness of his guilt. Do not be afraid. Please understand that apart from God's word, there is not life, but there is only death. We are created by God's word. We are recreated by God's word, and our life is in God's word. And you too have been touched by the sacramental touch of the Lord your God. He has given you the waters of holy baptism, given you the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of all your sins. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And it is that very same Jesus who gives life to you. Both Peter and Isaiah encounter God, and their inclination is to do what? Scripture declares what all will do when they come face to face with the divine. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So God does what God does. God cleanses. God absolves. He absolves both men. And what is more, he gives them the task of proclaiming that word of absolution to the world, to the people of their day. These men were given their vocations as proclaimers of the word. Isaiah to be a prophet, and Peter, who would be later installed in the apostolic office of being one of Jesus' sent ones, who was commissioned to go forth and to grow the church. So we too encounter God in word and sacrament. We are given to hear and to see the means by which God works among his people. Are we worthy in and of ourselves to be in God's presence? No, absolutely not. We're not. We are like Isaiah, ushered into a vision into the heavenly realms. But we have something very different. We have Christ among us. We have God come down to us in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We have Jesus who lived a perfect life in our place. Jesus who forgives us of our sins. Jesus who has washed us in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus who has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Jesus who absolved Peter and gave him his office. And in this same way, Jesus has absolved you, and Jesus has given you your office, your vocation, perhaps several vocations, parent, child, teacher, employee, employer, laborer, husband, wife, whatever your vocations are in life, these have been given to you by God in ways in which He has equipped you to serve in His kingdom. Not everybody is a pastor, not everybody is a prophet, not everybody can sing, not everybody can speak in public, not everybody can turn a wrench, not everybody can do surgery. God has given us each our own gifts that we use for service in His kingdom. And what are you going to do with the gifts that God has given you? You're going to go. You're going to go now, absolved from your sins, forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, strengthened by His word, washed clean in Him, made holy in God's sight, all through what He has done for you. On your behalf is your Savior, and you're going to go out and you're going to encounter the world, and you're going to work in the world as Jesus has you to work in the world. Be a good employee, be a good employer, be a faithful son or daughter, be a good mother and father, be a faithful father who leads his family in prayer, be a faithful mother who takes care of her children. Do these things, for these are what God has asked you to do in this world as you live in His faithfulness and you live out the forgiveness that He has bestowed upon you in your life. Go forth and live in God's grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, help us to remember that each day that we assemble together in your name in our church, we are standing in your presence, and that there is an unseen world all around us, a world of angels and archangels and of all the company of heaven. Remind us that we come to your house to be cleansed by your word and strengthened to live out the vocations that you have appointed us to live out in your kingdom. May we always be truly repentant of our sin and ever ready to hear your word of absolution. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter was commissioned to be a fisher of men, so too has the church been given the great commission to go forth into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Help us, O Christ, to be faithful to the task you have given us, so that your church in every place might be built up as many who do not know you or know of your sacrifice come to faith in you and come to faith in your work to the salvation of their souls and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, lest we forget the suffering in the world, we pause this morning to remember in our prayers those countrymen of ours who still struggle with recovery from natural disasters. Please, Lord, comfort those rebuilding from last year's hurricanes and from those recent wildfires that have afflicted our coasts. Help us to help those, O Lord, who suffer both emotionally and in property loss. We ask that by the means you see fit, you would use them to draw these folks close to you and closer to your mercy in Christ Jesus our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, we pray for the sick and the lonely, that you would be the constant comfort of those who need your healing touch and gracious presence. We pray for Joanne Marlin, that her current hospitalization, that you would bring her to health and healing and well-being through the treatment she is receiving in the hospital. We ask you to grant to those needing the comfort of friends that they will be remembered by friends, family, and neighbors. Help the lonely to find comfort in your word and the true faith that you will never leave them or forsake them. Lord, in your mercy. God of the nations, we pray for our country and for its leaders, asking that we ever be a nation of laws and that our people would show due respect for those appointed over us. Endow leaders at every level to be wise and prudent, not rash or impulsive. Keep sedition and war and bloodshed from us, and cause peaceful cooperation to reign among us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven, hymn number 477, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. I see Megan standing in the back. Megan, did you have something? Let me turn on the handheld here for you. Here you go. Hopefully they'll be up.
Elizabeth Frage and I would like to invite everyone to our breakfast and board games. It's this last Sunday of February. On February 23rd, it starts after late service, so approximately 11:45 to 2. The youth group will be there as a service project, and they'll be playing the games and helping serve. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex for the adults and youth. Please contact one of us if you have further questions.
And it's a lot of fun. It's a good time, breakfast and board games with the seniors and the youth. It's a very, very nice time. Thank you, Megan. Appreciate that. I just wanted to say also thank you this morning for this congregation and the members of this congregation. Last week was a big week. It took a lot of hands to put together and do the pancake and sausage and the silent auction and all of that. And you, along with others, you know, raised $26,000 for the school, and then turned around the very next day and raised another $1,000 through your door offerings to send to Camp Silka. You know, there are times when we struggle to meet budgets, when we struggle to meet all kinds of things, fill the boards, fill this, do that, find people here, and we lose sight, and I lose sight, and maybe you do too, of just how wonderful a group of people you are. And a group of people who come together to serve the Lord in so many and various ways. Our ladies are hosting the LWML District Convention. Our members are pitching in on the National Lutheran School Accreditation Committees. There's a lot going on here at Zion, and thank you so much. You give of your time, you give of your talents, you give of your treasures. And I know I don't say it enough, so I appreciate everything that the members of this congregation do, and just thank you for all you do in the Lord's kingdom and serving your Savior. And may the Lord bless you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.